In the last few moments that we have remaining in what is a very busy day, and I'm conscious that many of you have been down here for quite some time, so we'll only spend the next hour or so in deep theological thought and silence. But what is my devotion? My devotion is to know you, to walk with you, and to live for you. That's the crux, if you like. That's the essence of what I want to say tonight. And to use those scripture readings that you have before you on the sheet of paper. But you see, it's more than head knowledge. It's more than knowing about him, about Jesus. And sometimes it's easy to get confused or even sidetracked by knowing about faith, or knowing about religion, or even knowing about the Salvation Army. There are some people who know everything about the Salvation Army, and they treat knowledge as power. And actually their life with Christ is sidetracked. It's about gathering credentials to some. But it's going beyond the head knowledge. Paul writes to the Philippians 3, Chapter 3, verse 8, it's about the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand. Not secondhand, not passed down, but firsthand. Verse 10, I gave up all the inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally. That's what we talk about, a personal faith, a personal relationship with Jesus. So irrespective of whatever role or job or function that we have, to know Christ as Lord and Savior is our devotion and is our vocation. A married couple was celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary. I don't think they were the Birmingham couple who were celebrating 60 years. But they threw a party. And at that party, everybody wanted to know how they'd managed to stay married so long in this day and age. And the husband responded. He said, well, when we were first married, we came to an agreement. I would make all the major decisions and my wife would make all the minor decisions. At which point the wife took over the tale and she said, and in 60 years of marriage, we have never made a major decision in our life. We've never needed to. See, God calls us to make major decisions, and we talk about salvation, following Jesus Christ. And then perhaps lots of minor decisions along the way, along the life of holiness, as we would want to put it. And our personal response, our reflection, our devotion is to know him, to walk with him, to live for him. Ephesians 4 verse 1, Paul writes, as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. That word worthy is the word axios, from which we get the word axis. It really means bringing up the other beam of the scales. That's what it means, bringing up the other beam of the scales. I urge you to live a life which is balanced, doctrine and practice, balanced in the calling that you have received. For 8 hours, he prepares his uniform and his mind for duty. Every day of his duty, he gets a fresh haircut, and when he's on duty, he will not vary from his command a single step or for a single second, no matter what the weather, no matter the hour of the day, no matter the day of the week, no matter the number of people watching, and no matter if no one is watching at all. He is the unflinching guard, the sentinel who guard the tomb of the unknowns at the National Cemetery. For every minute of every day since July 2nd, 1937, the old guard, as it's called, has stood guard. And when a sentinel comes on duty, he walks exactly 21 steps across the tomb. representing the 21-gun salute, the highest honour given any military or foreign dignitary. And when he turns, he faces the tomb and remains in that position for 21 seconds. He turns again and walks 21 steps across the tomb. When he completes that short journey, he stops, turns towards the tomb and pauses for 21 seconds. Over and over and over again. The sentinel repeats the process until his shift is completed. And when the job is done well, it's nearly impossible to discern any movement of the young soldier's head or weapon. With an average age of 22, these young enlisted men and women prepare for weeks to take a turn at the tomb. They're assigned in groups in height order. No more than 2 inches will separate those with responsibility as guard. And yet somehow, when you see them, they all seem taller, straighter, a bit more proud. And part of the reason of that ramrod appearance would be the shoes that the soldiers wear. They're the standard military boot, but the heels and the soles are just a little bit built up. Not for the protection from the weather, but to aid in the walking, the turning. Strict training ensures that the guard is unflinching, unwavering in duty, no matter the heat of the summer, no matter the driving rain of the winter. And most important of all, the guard remains posted, the steps remain perfect, even when there is not another soul in sight, when no one is watching to see the sentinel, if they remain diligent, even at midnight. And if you want to join this group, you'll have to learn a new way to walk. To walk in the same way as the rest of the human race is to give up the privilege of walking with the old guard. To miss a single step when it's your turn to guard the tomb is to miss the opportunity to stand with those who've stood before you. You just don't walk the same way when it's your turn to guard the tomb. And neither should we. Those who carry the guard for the name of Christ. The Bible's message is that we're expected to walk in a different way. Once we follow Christ, doesn't matter if a crowd is watching or not. Doesn't matter if the circumstances are pleasant or difficult. Doesn't matter about the physical, the emotional, the spiritual strain. Walking as a follower of Jesus requires a different step than the rest of the world. And sometimes, I'm afraid, it requires just as much work as if we were members of that select force that guard the tomb. Our response, our devotion to know him, and because knowing him means we walk with him and live for him. Colossians 1:10, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, balanced. And in verse 12, giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. We shared about Colossae, always wanting to seek that status. A town was seeking qualification. And here's Paul writing to say, he's qualified you. He's given you that status to share in the inheritance of his people. See, he qualifies us, each one of us, to share in a calling for whatever that calling is going to be for us. To share in the inheritance of his holy calling to make us holy people in the kingdom of light. And he qualifies us. And yet, he calls the unqualified. Noah was a drunk. Abraham, too old. Jacob, liar. Leah, ugly. Joseph, abused. Moses, stuttering criminal. Samson, promiscuous. Gideon, doubtful. Rahab, a prostitute. Jeremiah, depressed. David, had an affair, committed murder. Elijah, mentally unbalanced and suicidal. Isaiah, preached naked. Not something I would want to do today. When God called Jonah, Jonah ran away. Naomi was an old widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter betrayed Jesus. The disciples fell asleep. Martha was a worrier. The Samaritan woman was a multiple divorcee. Zacchaeus was greedy. Paul was ingrained in another religion. Timothy was too young and had ulcers. And Lazarus was dead. We are in good company, friends. And if you look how Jesus called his disciples, if you think you're unqualified for ministry, just remind yourself of Mark chapter 1. And Jesus, the beginning of his ministry, as he walks along that sandy beach, he sees Peter tending his net. He sees Andrew. He sees James and John. They're fishermen. And he says, come, follow me. I want to make you fishers of men. And it all looks really nice. All very similar. They get on because they know how to fish. They can do this fishing. That's our business. And what does Jesus do? He really, really messes it all up. Because what he does then, he goes and calls Levi, a tax collector, to be part of the team. Why? Well, ministry is messy. It's not all the same. It's not all the same people that Jesus calls. We don't all look the same. Sometimes in Salvation Army worship, we give that impression we all look the same, but tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, we'll not look the same. And so Jesus goes into this ministry that he's calling his people to. Here's a fisherman. Here's a tax collector. Here's a doctor. Here's this. Here's a teacher. And the mess is a glorious mess that Jesus uses for ministry. And we, dear friends, can live in that mess that we call ministry because he calls us to it. He calls us to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. I'm not sure about your calling. I'm sure about mine. Be sure about it. Be sure that you're doing what the Lord has asked you to do. If it is officership, that's great. If it's to be a teacher, that's great. If it's to be a banker, that's great. If it's to be whatever, that's great. If it's what God wants you to do, do it to the very best of your ability because God has called you and God equips you. And through our worship on a Sunday, that helps us to move into the week. Now, this bookmark is purposely perforated at the bottom. And at the bottom it says, I fulfill my calling by being a at. I fulfill my calling by being a Salvation Army officer at West Midlands Division. That's my front line, if you like. What's yours? I fulfill my calling by being a teacher at such and such school. I fulfill my calling by being a student at such and such university. I fulfill my calling by being a housewife at your address. I fulfill my calling by being a retiree and in the circle of friends that I have. We're all included in this. My idea for these next 3 more minutes before we conclude is that we watch that video again and listen to this song. And if you want to just tear that bit off and hold it to yourself and just work out what you would write on there. You don't need to write it just now, but that might just then go into your wallet. Remember, remind yourself, I fulfill my calling by being. We're going to listen to that video, and what I want us to do, I want you to think, what will you be doing at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning? Where will you be doing it? 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. And I want us to somehow associate that within the building here. And it may mean, it will mean, some of you moving, standing up, and just walking to a different part of the hall. Are you okay with that? Your legs still work after a full day That's great. I'm going to suggest the YP band just secure your instruments, because we don't want the bill at DHQ for broken slides and things like that. And if you think of the platform is north, it's sort of Stoke-on-Trent. It's sort of Stafford. Bandmaster's happy. Sort of Cannockish area, posh end of Cannock, Lichfield. The songsters, you'd be sort of Coventry Way, anything in between. Birmingham city centre is the YP band area, so if you're in Birmingham, that's here. As you go towards the back of the auditorium, the building, we're talking about the Black Country over that side. Halesowen, Moseley, Solihull. And at the back underneath, those who commute to London and Evesham and all those great places. Do you understand where we're at? Birmingham is here. That's north. That's Coventry Way. That's Wolverhampton Way. That's London Way. And whilst we watch that video, come and stand where you think you'll be 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Where is your school in relation to that Birmingham area? And just bring that little slip and come and stand in that place where you'll be 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. And we're going to sing that verse and the chorus, the words will be on the screen there, as an act of commitment for tomorrow, taking the beauty and the benefit and the privilege of ministry for today into our work life in the morning. We've got the music, this verse, and then the chorus.
Christ be in my way.
See who works, who lives close to you. Take encouragement, be encouragement to each other. And here's a blessing as we conclude the day. May the feet of God walk with you and his hand hold you tight. May the eyes of God be on you and his ear hear your cry. And may the child of God grow in you and his love bring you home. God bless you each now and at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Spare a thought, spare a prayer for each other at that time, where you will be in your front line.